This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. Again, we love to hear from our listeners at eRadio Sports Info, eRadioSports.com, PodcastArena.com, and Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Once again, let's open up the mic, and we are rejoined by our producer, Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter, at JackMC15. Boy, we've hit on some basketball and some golf in hour one. Here in hour two, well, let's kick off this program with some NFL news and notes. And Dez Bryant saying that the Cowboys were extremely out of line by signing Andy Dalton. Do you agree with him?
First off, why is Dez Bryant still commenting about the Dallas Cowboys? He hasn't played with them in years. Secondly, I don't think it's out of line at all. It was surprising, but Andy Dalton to back up Dak Prescott is not a bad thing at all. And it's not like Andy Dalton's going to steal his job, but just in case he does get hurt, we have a great quarterback in Andy Dalton. So I think it's a fine move by the Cowboys.
I agree. I think it's a right move for Dalton to sign an incentive-based deal with the Cowboys. And plus, he's coming back to his home state. I mean, he's from Katy, right down the street from us, right?
Absolutely. And he played college ball at TCU, where he set all kinds of records. So he's beloved in the Dallas area.
Well, when we talk about the Cowboys heading into next season, one of the debates this past week was, who's going to have the edge going into this season? Will it be Dak's Cowboys or will it be Wentz's Eagles?
That's tough because I think it's 50-50. Dallas definitely improved offensively with CeeDee Lamb and their free agency signings on their defense with Clinton Dix and Gerald McCoy really have bolstered this roster. To me, I would go with slight edge in Dallas just based on the roster moves they increased. And Philadelphia is going with a fresh new core of receivers. So just a slight edge, I'll give it to the Cowboys.
You know, speaking of the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, I mean, what are your expectations for him as a rookie? I mean, is there a lot of pressure, you know, that he's going to feel playing for America's team?
I don't think the pressure should be that much because he's still got guys like Amari Cooper playing next to him. So Amari Cooper's still going to be the number one guy, but CeeDee Lamb should step up to be that number two guy.
We are set and ready. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back. We're going to talk some college basketball with Danny Tarkanian and his new book on his legendary father, Jerry Tarkanian, after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Always got to take time to recognize the folks that make it happen at SB Nation. And perhaps you're doing a repair that needs a special tool. O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available. So O'Reilly's is sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done right. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool, then return it to the original condition and receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, here we are in the month of May, and it's hard to believe we didn't have March Madness in 2020. But we always love to talk some basketball. We love to talk hoops and also be reflective. We're so excited to have back with us, and that is the son of Jerry Tarkanian, Danny Tarkanian. He's going to take us through the firsthand account of his father's life, the controversies, the triumph, his father, the historic coach, and Danny Tarkanian. It's good to have you back on the program and at SB Nation Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate the chance to be back on. I had such a good time last time, and you do a great job hosting it.
Well, thank you so much. Well, you know, a lot has transpired since our last conversation, since the whole COVID-19 crisis. So how are you guys doing? You're out there in Vegas, right?
Well, I actually moved up to northern Nevada in a small town called Gardnerville, which is on the foothills of Lake Tahoe Mountain. So
nice.
It's a great place to be locked up at. I mean, every morning we look up at the Sierra Nevada Mountains. It's just a beautiful place to be. Although my kids are so restless, they want to get out and start doing some things, and I certainly understand that.
Well, let's talk about your new book. It is titled The True Story of Jerry Tarkanian, Rebel with a Cause. And I think about the release of this book. I mean, it's got to be bittersweet for you because here you worked so hard. You produced a labor of love to celebrate your father. You guys were super close and you're excited about this release. And then, you know, the NCAA cancels its, you know, women and men's basketball championships due to COVID-19. So I'm sure there's just a
back to my father.
Yeah, just a myriad of emotions. So what are you feeling right now?
Well, you know, it took me over 10 years to complete it. I didn't do it full time. Obviously, I had some things in between, but I wanted to put it out when March Madness. There was a lot of excitement for college basketball. And so finally, I decided to do it this year, and out of nowhere, they canceled the March Madness. So bad timing, but it's a good book. People have sent a lot of responses on how much they've enjoyed it. It's a little bit for a lot of different people, whether it's sports fans, you have something in there. If it's somebody who just wants to know about the underdog story, there's certainly that. And somebody who, story about somebody persevering through all odds, you know, great story in that too. So we've had a good response to the book, and that's the most important thing.
Well, you did a beautiful job celebrating the amazing legacy of your father. And we're going to take a deep dive into the book. But, you know, since we are on the subject of college basketball, what do you anticipate? Do you think we will see the season start on time when the fall rolls around?
I do. I think, one, there's too much money to be lost for college football not to have fans there. I'm a little confused of what they're doing with this coronavirus thing. So you lock people up. If one person has a disease where they let everybody out to the public again, that person's going to spread to everybody again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you start all over again. So, I mean, I think there's going to be a risk. I think the lockdown was important so that the hospitals didn't get overwhelmed and the equipment that was needed to treat people was available. But that's pretty much the case now across the country. And I think they need to let people to get out and you know, the ones that are susceptible to being sick or catching the disease and having something seriously bad happen to them, like my mother, they need to be very, very careful for a long period of time. But for my 14-year-old daughter who loves to play basketball, to lock up the outdoor basketball courts in the park and not let her play, I think it's a little ridiculous.
It has been a super, super tough time. You know, when we think about the NCAA, I mean, how will they rebound, or perhaps I should say recoup just the millions lost from the tournament? How do they bounce back from that, Danny?
Yeah, it's a huge loss. I think they make $1 billion a year, and most of it is
from
college basketball tournament. So it's a huge loss. Most of that money goes to the schools. So the schools themselves are not going to have this kind of budgets that they've had in the past. But there's so much money in college sports. Not, in my opinion, it's almost sickening what it's become. I mean, you got coaches that are making $10 million a year. My dad used to tell the story all the time. He was so happy and fortunate, he said, to make $200,000, $300,000 a year as a coach. He said John Wooden coached his entire career, the most successful coach in the history of college basketball. He never made more than $34,000 a year. And he was so happy when his career ended and thankful for what he had the chance to coach and do what he loved. And my dad felt the same way. Some of these coaches now, I mean, bad coaches or average coaches are making $5 million a year. So maybe it doesn't hurt that the budget drops a little bit and some of them aren't making quite as much.
Mm-hmm. Hey, son of legendary college basketball coach Jerry Tarkanian and his son Danny Tarkanian is with us tonight, former UNLV basketball star. And he has released the true story of Jerry Tarkanian, Rebel with a Cause. And so what do you want the readers to take away from this book? As you said, a labor of love, 10 years, you grinded hard, you worked hard on this.
Yeah, you know, first of all, for the people who follow my father's career, he was incredibly maligned unfairly by the national media because of his battles with the NCAA. So I spent a little bit of time in the book explaining exactly how that fight started and what truly transpired. And I think if people read it and they see all the documentation on how, they'll understand that my father wasn't the type of villain that was projected in the national media when he coached. Second thing, which I think is more important, is to understand the type of person he was. This is a guy that grew up very poor. He's a poor student who got in trouble off the court, faced racial discrimination because of his Armenian heritage. And what he did was he took athletes just like him, poor inner city African-American kids that didn't have any money, they were poor students, ones that got in trouble off the court. He brought them in, gave them a chance to succeed in life, molded them together fine-tuned a team that played very well together, and many of them had great success after the playing. And I think that's the biggest achievement anybody could have in their life, is the positive impact you have on people that need help. And my dad took the people that needed the help the most, He gave it to them, and he had great success, not only for himself personally, but for them also as adults getting older.
Your dad built UNLV into a basketball juggernaut, but I kind of want to go back. I mean, who introduced him to the game of basketball, and who was his coaching mentor?
Yeah, that's one of the things. He didn't play for a big-time basketball program. He didn't play for a big-time coach. If you go through the great coaches out there, they either were at a big-time basketball school or played for a big-time coach. My dad had neither. He had a football coach at Fresno State, though, that he idolized, Van Wagen or Van Wagen. I forget the name now, but it's in the book. And this guy's philosophy, back in the 1950s, the philosophy was the coach could not get close to his players. He had to be the boss, and they had to, you know, be the soldiers following his lead. Coach Van Wagen thought otherwise. He said, get close to your players, help them out, and they'll play harder for you, and they'll be more receptive to you. My dad always believed in that philosophy. He took it in his coaching career and had great success with it. So a little small football coach at Fresno State in the 1950s.
Danny Tarkanian is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, at the Big E Sports Show. Connect with our audience. Where can they go and get a copy of the new book, The True Story of Jerry Tarkanian, Rebel with a Cause?
They can go on Amazon.com, and they just put in Rebel with a Cause. It'll come up, and they can buy it there. That's the easiest way with all the bookstores closed and everything.
You know, we extended this invitation to have you on the program to celebrate your father, but you know what, Danny? It is Mother's Day weekend, so tell us about your mom,
wow.
Lois Tarkanian. Oh. They were married for, what, 59 years?
Yeah, 59 years. You did your research. Almost made it to 60. Yeah. My mother was actually the backbone and the glue of my father's career. In fact, many of the players will tell you she's the one that kept everything together. And my dad said that she was not only the most competitive person she was, but she was the toughest person she's ever met. And that says a lot considering the type of profession he's in and the player that he coached. She was an educator first. Had as a doctorate degree. She worked with teaching handicapped children. Actually, they were hard of hearing children most of her adult life. But she fought the battles with the NCAA with my dad. When my dad wanted to drop the lawsuit against the NCAA, my mom wouldn't let him. It was costing too much for my dad. My mom said, no, you absolutely don't. And they ended up getting the NCAA to pay him $2.5 million because of my mom's perseverance. She documented this. The most amazing thing to me is she has every article she's ever saw about my father's coaching career in scrapbooks. She has them from his first year of coaching at San Joaquin Memorial High School all the way to his final year of coaching in Fresno State. I mean, you're talking about 30, 40
wow.
scrapbooks. And what a wonderful woman that would do that for her husband. And that's where I got most of my information in the book from. What the parts that I wasn't living personally, I was able to go through those scrapbooks my mother kept and put this story together.
She was a brilliant woman. Rebel with a Cause, the true story of Jerry Tarkanian, his son, Danny Tarkanian, with us tonight. And we always enjoy having you on the program and learning more about your amazing father. Thank you so much, Danny.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being on it. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2, SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to engage and connect with our audience. You can join us live on Twitter at eRadio Sports Info. At eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And as always, you can trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, indeed, we have a very big golf show tonight and delighted once again to go inside the ropes here in Hour 2 from Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. And that is Bill Rosinski. Bill, it's been a while since we've had you on the program, and since everything went down with COVID-19, how are you and your family holding up in North Carolina?
Well, first of all, Alyssa, great to be with you. Nice to hear your voice. And we're fine. You know, every day is like Groundhog Day, the movie. You know, you get up, have some coffee, read the paper, eventually do some working out, have some lunch. My wife and I go on some 3-4 mile walks every afternoon. We're fortunate to live in the city of Charlotte that they call Uptown, so there's lots of places to go walk. And we try to get out and play a little golf once a week. So that's about it.
Well, I was going to say, did you, you and your wife were playing golf earlier this week, but did your course remain open during this pandemic? Because we saw across the country, I mean, like Washington, Minnesota, I mean, golf courses, they were completely shut down. I even heard New Mexico had been shut down.
Yeah, no, North Carolina, the courses have always been open, and that's been great because it's certainly a nice four-hour diversion from what's going on in the world. And they did all the right things. The flag stayed in, and fortunately we changed that rule, a year ago, that the flag could stay in, so
Oh, that's right.
That was no big deal, and they had people. My wife and I usually walk, and if you needed a cart, they just changed the rule back that you can share a cart with someone. That just changed this week. Otherwise, you had to have your own cart when you went out. And they had a little bit more staggered tee times to separate the groups that were out on the golf course. And, they had all the rules in the clubhouse when you checked in to stay 6 feet away from the person ahead of you. And so it's been good, you know, and the weather's been pretty much spectacular here. We've had our share of rain, but it's been great for golf.
You're listening to the familiar voice, Bill Rozinski from PGA Tour Radio. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Rozinski Bill. He's also the former voice in the NFL, the Falcons, and the Panthers. So we've got some good news. The PGA, the LPGA, and the Korn Ferry Tour, they're going to be back soon. So talk to us. I mean, you're accustomed to traveling all across the country and even overseas. So what does your broadcast schedule look like? And tell me this too, Bill. I just have to wonder, I mean, how much will your approach change with covering events? I mean, you're going to have to wear a mask when you're, you know, doing post-round interviews. How's that going to work, Bill?
Well, that is a question, Alyssa, that we still haven't had answered yet by the PGA Tour. When we went on hiatus back in March, my last tournament that I worked was the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando. And then I think the next week was the Players, and then we all know what happened after that. After the first round, they had to shut everything down. So I had my schedule worked out through June, and that included the PGA Championship, which was going to be this coming week. Obviously, it's not. That's been moved. And the U.S. Open in June, which also has been moved. So I had my schedule through then. And as soon as this pandemic started, our boss at the PGA Tour said, look, I got to redo the schedule. We didn't know when we were coming back originally. So then we found out it was going to be middle of June or second week of June with the Colonial, Charles Schwab. And we have yet to get our schedules yet. And I don't know how much will change with how many people we send to an event. If you do some work from the studio, I'm really not sure. Normally two or three rovers were on site. I hope that doesn't change because our broadcast window was a lot longer than television. I mean, we were on for 6 hours every day.
Right.
And usually the first two and a half, it was just us covering the early going on Thursday and Friday. So, and I'm not sure how all that will play out. I think the tour's still trying to figure out where the Players will stay. I'm hoping, I usually go down to Hilton Head. That's a 4-hour drive from here. And that's supposed to be the second tournament. I'm anticipating not working Charles Schwab, but again, I haven't seen our schedule yet. And then hopefully I'll be down in Hilton Head to cover the RBC Heritage. But those questions you asked me about face masks and social distancing, and I don't know how the media center is going to work anymore. I'm just hoping we're out there calling golf shots. I'll stay in a cocoon if they want me to between rounds and, you know, go out and call golf shots again. I'm looking forward to it. I hope the schedule works out the way they hope it does.
Well, COVID-19 has impacted us on so many different levels. And, you know, when I think about yourself, you know, a television broadcaster, a radio broadcaster, I mean, I'm not sure how many events a year that you cover, but this is such a big part of your livelihood. And when everything's shut down, there's no live sporting events. I mean, you talk about a major crunch that you're in. I mean, this virus has wiped out a lot of day jobs. What are some of your colleagues saying to you, Bill? And I mean, we've obviously seen, I mean, they're doing fundraisers for caddies to try to help out a lot of hurting people right now.
Yeah, well, people in my situation, Alyssa, you know, we're independent contractors, and we're paid by mostly by the event. So there's no events, so there's no income. And, you know, I get frustrated sometimes. You know, Twitter will just get my blood pressure up because I read all these national sports writers who have jobs and are still writing and covering the world of golf or the world of the NFL, whatever. But then they're so negative. Well, this is not going to happen. You know, NFL schedule's coming out, and I will, you know, read a writer saying, yeah, the schedule's out, but that's probably not going to happen. I'm going, I don't want to hear that. How do we know what's going to happen in August and September? Heck, 2 months ago, we weren't thinking this was going to happen. So, you know, what lies 2 months down the road? I'm always hopeful. So I am, like a lot of my colleagues, I am anxious to get back out there and work. I think we should get out there and work. And I think, Alyssa, people are going to wash their hands more than ever. They will use disinfectant. They will use possible to clean their hands. I think it's going to be a different world we live in. We'll have masks on in certain situations. Although I just came from the grocery store and I had a mask on, and it was really hard to understand what I was saying. So I think if I'm calling golf shots, I will not have a mask on. But in the media center and elsewhere, that's fine.
Hey, we love him. Bill Rozinski from PGA Tour Radio with us tonight. SB Nation Radio. The countdown is on. We cannot wait till June gets here because that'll be the PGA Tour's first event back, the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club. And so let's kind of talk about this. I've visited with several of our guests about, you know, how big of a challenge will be the return of the PGA Tour? What do you think will maybe perhaps be the biggest challenge? I mean, you don't have galleries. There's no fans. There's no hospitality tents. So I've said this many times. It's kind of like going back to the good old days of junior golf, right?
That's right. In fact, I remember I tell the story. People have asked me about that, what it'll be like without having fans out there. And I said, I've been at major championships and gone out with some golfers. I was with Robert Streb at the PGA Championship on a Friday at Baldusrol, and he was about to possibly set the course record or tie it. It was about 4 or 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and he was playing the front nine as the second nine. And my wife, who drives my car, we went out there. We called it like last seven holes. And there were like six people following the guy. Uh-huh. And this was at a major championship. So a lot of these players are used to not having big galleries. Now, the other guys, the McIlroys, the DJs, the Justin Thomases, Tiger, we all know what chaos that is like. So that I think it'll be more interesting for them not to have huge galleries around than it will be for some of the other players out there. And I think the golf course is going to look different. You know, I think about Hilton Head, the 18th hole there, where you've got the calabogie sound as the golfer comes down the fairway. At 18, uh-huh. You've got the sound on the left. And normally he's looking at the TV tower and these huge grandstands which circle the green on the right side. Well, those grandstands aren't going to be there. There's going to be a TV tower. And I think we're going to see, and this is going to take place at every golf tournament where there's no grandstands anymore. And how often, Alyssa, have we seen a golfer hit one into the grandstand, get a free drop, and make an up and down? Where if that grandstand hadn't been there, yeah, he might have been in the woods somewhere. So it'll be different. It'll be unique, and I think we'll get used to it. And I think the big thing overall is people are going to want to watch this on television. And you're not going to hear the gallery cheer, but you're going to watch the best players in the world out there. And I think that'd be pretty cool at this point.
Well, one of the best players in the world that will be returning to the Colonial Country Club, first time in 6 years. This is some exciting news, is Dustin Johnson. And so all eyes will be on that event. I mean, there's some big name players that have committed to the Colonial.
Well, I think you're going to see that in a lot of these tournaments because, you know, Hilton Head was always the week after the Masters. So a lot of the big-name players would never show up at Hilton Head. Now, the RBC guys would, and DJ is one of the RBC ambassadors. So, you know, Luke Donald, Graham McDowell, these guys would show up and play. Matt Kuchar's an RBC guy. But I think you're going to see, we're ready to go with this, you're going to see, you know, the McIlroys and all these other people who haven't played at Hilton Head and some of these other stops just want to get some reps under their belt and go out and play golf in competitive competition. So I think this will be really unique to see what kind of fields we have, maybe the first month that we're out there.
Well, safety is certainly at the forefront of everyone's mind, and our special guest tonight from PGA Tour Radio has been Bill Rozinski. As we close out our interview, you are a former NFL radio play-by-play announcer for several teams. So what I got to ask you, I mean, what did you think of this year's virtual draft?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was great. I do know, like, especially the first round with the fans and coming out and hugging the commissioner and all that and showing the jersey. I know that's kind of unique, but I think over the 3 days to see the reaction of mom and dad and whatever other family was there with you when it, you know, the team makes that phone call and says, you're our guy. We're going to pick you. I thought that was really unique. And, you know, I think they might incorporate more of that. I don't think we're ever going to get away from the big party on for the first day of the draft, but I think maybe after that it might be a little bit different. I thought it was pretty cool the way the NFL handled it. I know they took some criticism for even trying to do it, and I think it was perfect for them. The NFL usually doesn't get a lot of things wrong, and this was another case where those 3 days were really special.
It was very special. PGA Tour Radio, Bill Rozinski's been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, have a great weekend. And we'll reconvene and talk again soon. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, Alyssa, anytime. Thanks.
Of course. Much more coming your way.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you. You can connect with us many different ways and platforms, podcastarena.com. Each and every one of our interviews are posted there from our 2 hours. Info at eradiosports.com and Twitter. You can join the show at eradiosports. And you know what? Summer's going to be here before you know it. So if your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a risk on a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. And if your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, tonight has been a very big golf program. We've been hitting on the PGA, the LPGA. We've talked about their reconfigured schedules due to COVID-19. In our next segment, you know, we're going to focus our attention on the Korn Ferry Tour as they have announced their revised 2020 schedule and added 5 additional events that was announced on Monday. A true pleasure to have back with us each and every week. He keeps us up to date, the former PGA Tour player and author, the great Larry Miller. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. Larry, good evening, and talk to us. I mean, a lot of things are changing and moving in the right direction. Are courses reopening in Louisiana? How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Still trying to work our way through this crazy time. But, yeah, the things are opening up. You know, they're using the usual stuff where, you know, it's one rider to a cart unless it's a family member, and sanitizing the carts before and after usage, and the flag sticks, you know, can't take them out. Got that stuff in the bottom that makes the ball sit kind of up where you can pluck it out of there. And then no rakes in the bunkers. So everybody's got to smooth their footprints out. And, it's a little bit different, but at least we are playing and things are opening up little by little. Just like they closed little by little, they're opening up little by little. And things are on their way, you know, back to normal, hopefully in the not too distant future. So everybody's dying to watch some golf, though, and we got it coming up soon.
That's right. We're looking forward to that in the month of June. The Charles Schwab, the Colonial, will be the first event back. I know folks are just tired of being stuck inside. Tell me this, as far as when you and Connie are headed over to the golf course, I mean, how tough is it to find a tee time? That's a real concern. My starter at my club, I mean, he showed me his tee time sheet, and it's completely booked out.
At New Orleans Country Club, that's where we play. It's not a problem. It's not one of those clubs where there's, you know, 1,200 golfing members or anything, or even 800. It's a pretty, you know, pretty limited membership. And so getting a tee time is not difficult, except on, maybe Saturday mornings. Everybody wants to get out there. Plus nobody's, you know, most of the people haven't been working. And so it's been a little bit more crowded than usual, but it's not too bad. I don't know about the public courses around here. I haven't been to them, but, you know, I would imagine they're pretty crowded right now.
Well, I know that you are ready for some good news, and so we're going to talk about the Korn Ferry Tour. The schedule is officially set for the remainder of 2020, and will start next month, in fact, June 8th, at TPC Sawgrass, right in the backyard of the PGA Tour headquarters. And I know, Larry, we've talked about it many times. You've played TPC Sawgrass. So, you know, watching these players, I mean, what are you going to look forward to the most when they get back to playing?
Well, you know, it's a compressed schedule and it's an inflated schedule with more events. And, you know, they say they're not going to give the tour cards automatically to the 25, you know, leading money winners on the tour. So it's going to be a stampede. You know, it's going to be a real stampede of players trying to jockey for position, and they're going to award what they call performance points. So everybody's going to be playing as many events as they physically can. You know, people get tired. Even the young guys get tired playing 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row. You can't do it. Got to take a little time off. But yet at the same time, it's going to be really important to get as many of those performance points as you can. And so I'm looking for these players to be playing just about every event. So it's going to literally be a wild stampede of players trying to get some points. Now, they did retain the automatic. If you win three events on the Korn Ferry Tour, then you are automatically graduated to the PGA Tour the following season. So that is still in place. Anyway, you're going to see everybody who is eligible to play. They're going to be playing just about every week.
Well, the Korn Ferry Tour, of course, disrupted as well by the COVID-19 crisis. They had only, as you had mentioned, played six events to start off 2020. So let's talk about this tour. I mean, what do you think the biggest challenge will be for these players? I mean, they're not accustomed to playing in front of big galleries and having a ton of fans out there. But, I mean, they're going to be in live tournament action play. I mean, what's their biggest challenge?
Yeah, well, it's not going to make any difference, the fan deal, because they don't get that many people.
That's right.
Anyway. But what they are going to have to deal with is I would say, a more higher level of competition because of the fact that everybody needs to play as many events as they can. So it's going to be tougher. I think you're going to see, and as a result of that, whenever it gets like that, then you see really low scores. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see some scores in the low 60s and even a 59 or two with all these good players playing, you know, as hard as they can play to try to get points. So it's going to step up a little bit, the level of competition, I think. It's going to be a challenge for the players. And the ones that are new to it, that don't have a lot of experience, it's going to be tough on them to break through. And I think it's going to take a season, maybe even a season or two, before things stabilize in the world of competitive golf. And it's going to be a little bit that way, too, on the PGA Tour, because it's also a compressed schedule. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit more competitive, I think, and tougher. But you know what? That brings out the best in the good players. So that's how it'll probably shake out.
You know, it's going to be competitive. You talk about the players that, you know, the younger players as they acclimate to this mega schedule. But I have to think, too, let's talk about, there'd only been six events played in 2020, but that's going to be frustrating for some of the elite Korn Ferry Tour players, because perhaps they were really in groove, they were striding out, they're feeling good, and then all of a sudden everything gets shut down, and now you've got this wraparound schedule.
Well, that's right, and it also makes what they did almost not really matter, because now they have to come back and prove themselves again against a stiffer field, more players, and these hungry young players are going to be going at them. So yeah, I think the elite players are going to be hurt a little bit by this, and it's going to, you know, I think you're going to see some more new elite players emerge out of this compressed schedule.
You know, when we talk about the Korn Ferry Tour, do we see a trickle-down effect? I mean, there's not going to be a Q school. Big picture, can you weigh in on, you know, what do you think the long-term effects would be for, like, the college game? I mean, perhaps players, they're just going to go ahead and stick around and play college golf instead of moving on because you don't have any Q school.
Yeah, it is a trickle-down effect, and it is going to, you know, it's going to affect some of the incoming freshmen like Steven.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, when I see a stepped up level in the quality of competition, I also see an opportunity for players to get better and develop. That's how you get better in golf, really. Even if you're out there and you're a beginner or you're contemplating taking up the game, the way that you get better at golf is to play with better players.
That's right.
That's how you learn. And right on down the line, whether you're a beginner or a 20 handicapper or a tour player, you play with elite players and you see how they go about their business, and it makes you better. I know when I used to play practice rounds with some of the top players, that's when I really went to school and learned, and I watched how they did everything, how they strategized and managed the course and even their technique that you would borrow things from and learn from. So even though it's tougher to break through now with the more players and more tournaments, it's also an opportunity for someone who's wants to work hard at it to get better.
Hey, if you're just joining us here in Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, we are Inside the Ropes with former PGA Tour player, and that is Larry Miller. So we're going to talk about some really good news on the PGA Tour. How about later this month, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolf, Oklahoma State boys, they're going to headline the TaylorMade Driving Relief Marketing Return Effort to benefit COVID-19.
Yep, Juno Beach. I played Seminole. Connie and I played it last year, as a matter of fact, and it's a place. It just might be the most private golf club in the world. You go up Highway 1. It's about a mile north of PGA Boulevard, and there's a little sign that's about 2 feet by 2 feet, you know, just sticking up there, and it just says Seminole on it. And you look down the road, you don't see anything but trees and a street. You don't know what's there. You can't tell anything. You would never know it was there.
Wow.
And the golf course, it's considered one of the best in the world. And the feature of Seminole, it's three things. Seminole, it's short. It's only 6,800 yards. Very short by tour standards. It's pretty wide open, for the most part. Not a lot of trees. The wind is always howling out there. It's right there on the ocean. It seems like, you know, when I played it, it was blowing 25. And then the greens, the other factor are the greens. The greens are the fastest greens that I've ever played. They're faster than Augusta National.
Wow.
They're faster than Oakmont or Wingfoot. And they are literally, I think they're 14 or 15 on the stint meters. It's crazy fast. So with the wind blowing and these big exposed elevated greens with no trees to block the wind, it is a real challenge at 6,800. And I'll tell you something. This is very interesting. It's going to be Dustin Johnson and McIlroy mm-hmm. against Matthew Wolff and Ricky Fowler.
That's right.
And if I were a betting man, I would bet on Fowler and Matthew Wolff.
Would you?
Even
okay.
though they're playing against, yep, they're playing against two world number ones and former number ones. And the reason I would do that is because it's only 6,800, and that negates the advantage that DJ and Rory have with their distance. And Fowler is a tremendous putter and chipper and wedge player, and so is Wolff. And so on that short golf course, I think they've got the edge because the bombers are not going to have any advantage at all. And McIlroy and DJ, they don't putt as well as Fowler and Matthew Wolff. So interestingly, you would think the two number ones would be favored, but I don't think so.
We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break and be rejoined with Larry Miller, former PGA Tour player.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes and visit with former PGA Tour player Larry Miller. So two teams, one cause, a live event on NBC May 17th. We're talking about Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolff. You were talking about what intrigues you the most about this matchup, but some were saying that it's an unfair matchup, but that is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And of course, most importantly, it's a wonderful charitable, raising a significant amount of money for, you know, people in this crisis that are really hurting.
Yes, absolutely.
You think there's going to be a noodle in the cup?
Well, yeah, they said, in fact, and tell you something else interesting
okay.
about the format is that the players are going to carry their own bags, their own clubs. They're not going to have caddies.
Wow, I didn't see that. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, the four of them are going to carry their own clubs and stay 6 feet apart. They're going to have the foam in the cups, just like we're doing all around the world right now with golf. But to see these four guys carrying their own bags is really going to be fun and interesting. And so really looking forward to it. What a great way to get golf going again, and what a great contribution to the COVID-19 charities.
Well, I have to wonder, too, does it make you grimace just a bit? Because we think about the caddies, that special relationship between players and caddies. And, you know, going forward, we've got these first four events on the PGA Tour that will be without fans. I mean, do you think the executives at the PGA Tour, they may think, well, you know what, maybe, you know, safety first, we don't need to have caddies. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if they've contemplated. I haven't heard anything about them, you know, considering golf carts and no caddies, but I guess it's one option. I guess the other option, too, that, you know, they're going to test everybody. They're going to test caddies and players, so I think they'll be able to have their caddies as long as they get tested and then maintain the distancing rules.
Well, we're looking forward to the big event, NBC, on May 17th. And also, they haven't set a time yet or a date, but Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. Give me another hit. We've talked about it in weeks past, but what do you think you're looking forward to the most with this particular matchup?
I think the banter back and forth. You know, you're gonna see some trash-talking supreme in this deal. And you know, and Peyton's pretty funny anyway. His commercials are great. He really should be an actor or something. He's really good on the camera. But yeah, I would think that the back and forth is going to be – and Phil, of course, loves to jab the needle in there. And so that's going to be a real fun thing, is to see – you know, you're going to see some good golf, and you're going to see some Hall of Fame players, and then you're going to hear them. You know, it's going to be high comedy to listen to these guys.
And once again, raising money for folks that are in crisis,
yes,
from COVID-19. Most importantly, always a true pleasure when we have Larry Miller on with us, SB Nation Radio. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk next week. Thank you so much, Larry. We appreciate you.
Okay, everybody. Talk to you next week. Fun.
Absolutely. That, of course, was the great Larry Miller, former PGA Tour player, joining us tonight on SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. What an amazing program we have had tonight. So many awesome guests.